You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stylish knee, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill, and in the words of Arthur Godfrey, one of my radio heroes of past, Hawaii, Hawaii, Hawaii. Well, here we are. Tom didn't make it tonight. There's a lot of static going on the signals on the stream from the internet. Tested them out about an hour ago, but we should be okay. Hopefully it will stay up and we won't break down. We got, since last week, the weather has changed significantly. And as you probably have already seen on the weather thing, you're right about the middle of the United States. All the weather is cold all the way down, about mid United States down, it's got real cold. And I think my home state, Minnesota, the other day was 20 below, 27 below zero. So it's a pretty shaky thing going on. And a lot of people have had kind of like a short warm spell for a day, and then all of a sudden, there it goes, boom, cold, sleet, you know, that mushy, they call it sleet mushy stuff, that when after it's done at night when the it gets colder, it freezes over, and they glare ice. And looking at the news on the weather channels throughout the United States, there through wherever where it snowed or rained and iced up, I mean, there are just unbelievable amount of car accidents and trucks and everything sliding down the road. Air, something, well, it was what, 1,500, maybe even more. Flights were canceled, delayed. So it's has quite of an effect. And it also has quite of an effect on this creature. This week, we have got one, two, actually I've had several calls. But Robert, who was on last week, who had the footprints, this week actually had took a video of something in this in these rushes that he has near his home. And there's an outline of a, it look, appears to be a body. I didn't have time, I got to apologize. I didn't have time to post all the stuff up today. I got caught at the doctor's office and he held me overtime. Not because I was sick, just because he was a little bit lazy and took a little too long to do it. And by the time I got back, it was just too close to showtime. So I just had to set up for the show. But we'll get it done. We're going to talk about it tonight, too. For all you listeners out there that have emailed us, sent us info, asked us questions, told us where we're screwed up, we appreciate that, by the way. Don't get me wrong. You know, if there's something that you want to criticize us about, don't feel free. We're open to that. What we don't want to do here is we don't want to make enemies with you. We want to be your friend. and we hold that everybody has an opinion. Everybody has their own view of things. So when we speak of view, you got to understand it's our view, okay? And sometimes it may be a personal view. It may be a Tom's personal view. It may be Marco Bill's personal view. It may not. It's not the view of a whole organization, by no means. And we also honor that with all of our people that call in. You know, you don't have to agree with what we do. And that's okay. I mean, really, I'm not trying to make an issue out of this. I just want you to know this is free and open for everyone. And if something bothers you, let us know, because sometimes we do things or say things or things happen that we don't even realize are happening. And we may not even realize it's, you know, something that might be damaging to somebody. And but believe me, we're not trying to damage anybody. We've had enough of that done to us, and we still have it done to us. And the only thing I can say is, you know, when you return it, it's no way to live your life. you just take it and grin and bear it and just go on with what you're doing. As long as you believe in what you're doing, and if you believe in what you're doing and you're truly honest in how you feel, how you present yourself, whether you're right or wrong. You have an opinion, and the only thing that changes opinions are more information. And you have to understand that we are a benefactor of that. When we first started hunting Bigfoot, the first thing that we were doing was looking for this guy that was in this costume that we were going to catch. And we were going to unmask this thing to the world and show what a fraud it was. And then the real thing happened. Well, guess what? We had to swallow a lot of things that we said early on, because we were doing the same as a lot of people probably do nowadays. You know, criticizing people who had sightings, who thought they had sightings. All this kind of stuff. Well, once we had our sighting, of course, you know, it's like religion. you believe. And And, of course, that made us believers. And it's just something that happens. So, by all means, send us, and by the way, it's not all negative stuff. There's a lot of positive things that you guys send us too. Believe me, a lot. Just recently here on the podcast, I mean, every single week we've been in the top 50. Now that's out of 12,000 shows. The top 50 fastest, that means 50 radio stations that had, a certain amount of volume, and we were the top 50. So that's not a bad thing. It's pretty good. We appreciate all of your patronage, your listenership, and one thing I also want to make an announcement on. I don't do this very often, but and I probably should do it more. A lot of people are looking for T-shirts, hats, belt buckles, all the memorabilia type things, jackets. We have them. You can look at them. It's a very simple thing. We do have two websites, as you probably know, www.searchingforbigfoot.com, www.searchingforbigfoot.com. In there is a store. It says, movies or stores and all that stuff, and you can go in there and look at what we have through that link, through our other webpage, or you can just plain type in www.shoppingforbigfoot.com, and it'll take you directly to the store, and you can take a look at everything that we have available. And the reason I say this is a couple of our family members here, Rocky and Swede, were out doing a kind of a trip here about a month ago. And as they were going around, they were wearing their hat and T-shirt. And everybody was asking, where can I get one of those? Well, man, I'd like to have one of those. And we have a lot of them. We just don't advertise it enough, I guess. But that's what you can do. It's www.shoppingforbigfoot.com. Go up there, take a look, and take a look around. Well, tonight, we're going to start out with Robert, and we're going to go over there to Pennsylvania and see what's going on. Robert, how are you tonight?
Doing good. Marco Bill, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I apologize for not getting your video put up there, but we will fix that, and we'll get it up by probably next week or so. We'll have some.
Like I say, how I got this video, I went out on the back patio and looked down toward the direction of the pond. Since those footsteps were discovered in my yard, like, I'm trying to memorize my surroundings, trying to get anything that ain't supposed to be there. You know, any little thing that shouldn't be there, I'm hoping to get it. Now I'm seeing more fox, more coyotes than I've ever seen since I've lived up here. But down in the direction of that pond, I seen like a black silhouette down there in the, not in the big reeds, but on the back side of the pond, in front of them, that big bush that I was telling you about, that tree. I don't even know. I wish I knew what it was, so I would stop saying bush or tree.
Could you answer me a question, Robert?
Sure.
Now, when we're talking, because I don't have a picture up there, I want people to visualize what this looks like and where the pond is.
Is
that bamboo? Yeah, is that bamboo or that reed?
I don't know. I have not. Like I said, when I went down there, when we had the encounter, it was nighttime. We actually didn't go to the pond. Like I said, we were, 75, 100 yards
about
away.
Yeah, like 7 or 8 foot tall stuff, though, right?
Yeah, but the next day we went down there, and I didn't go around the whole area. I just went around where we had the, where we seen the creature. But I never did walk around the whole area.
No, but I'm going by when you had a picture of that you sent me, where somebody was standing.
Right, following along, right.
Yeah, to the reeds. How, what is he, 6 foot?
He's 6 foot, 6'1", I believe.
Okay, and if you looked at him standing up, the reeds were at least 2-3 feet above his head.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're tall. But where this was, this that's what I'm saying, this is off to the side, and I don't think those reeds are that tall. You know, I mean, they're just like a little section
well,
of like one starting
to
come out,
that's
maybe.
What I'm saying. Yeah, he was standing pretty close to him, though. But
right,
what
but
I'm
anyways,
trying to say is it's as high as a man at least, right?
Oh, taller, yeah, yeah. With, even
yeah,
with
yeah,
your
yeah.
hand, it's probably, I don't know, 10 foot tall, maybe taller than that. I don't know, at least 10 foot.
Yeah.
I would say.
So
it's, right
a, it's a pretty pretty congested little area there with lots and lots of real thick.
But
you
I
can't see through it. It's really heavy. Heavily bushed in, right?
Right.
I'm trying to give the viewers kind of a view
sure,
of what
sure,
I've seen
sure.
in the picture. So now, I'm sorry. Now, so in the last couple of weeks, or actually the last month or so, since you first got your footprints, you've actually had two episodes where you got footprints, right?
No, just the one.
Just the one, but you had
something
else happen.
Just the one episode.
Yeah. But you had something else happen besides that, right?
Right, the encounter with my father-in-law with this beast down by the pond. Sure.
Yeah.
That's where we had it, down in that area.
Mm-hmm. So you were, and of course, when you went through this, I know that you've been really researching a lot, really getting around trying to get as much information as you can. You've been on the internet. I've given you a bunch of things to look at. You've gotten a lot of things from other people. And basically, you know, you kind of got the Bigfoot. You got bit by the Bigfoot bug. And what that does kind of heightens your sensitivity to a lot of things that before
well,
you may not
more
have
that
recognized.
I think it's more that the things walk through my yard, it's now I'm obsessed with trying to find out what this beast was or creature, whatever you choose to call it. I want to know what it is. I want to know what, you know, what it was. Because those prints just, it did something to me. So I'm out to find this thing. But anyways, like I said, I was out there and I had sent you pictures. You know, I sent you a picture, actually two pictures of the pond, I think, with those bushes, because the last time I talked to you, I was telling you about them. So I sent you the pictures so you can kind of get an idea, like what you're doing for people trying to, you know, so you know what I'm talking about.
Sure, no, I understand.
But I seen the silhouette, so I took another picture, you know, thinking, well, maybe that was there before. And there's a tree branch that you can use as a reference to know that that's the same area that both these pictures were taken. And the one, you don't see nothing. The first one that I sent you just to show you what I was talking, you know, the area that I was talking about, and with the silhouette, you can clearly see that black spot down there. I mean, dark. You could see something in there.
Sure.
And then the day after this, I took another picture. There's a spot down there, but it ain't black. It's like hollowed out, like a layer that it, you know what I mean, like where it was bedded in there. So it had moved. People say, why didn't you go down there? Well, there's a lot of reasons. Number one, it ain't my property. Number two, like I say, when I was taking the video, I really couldn't, because of that little screen, I mean, it's far away. I didn't, you know, it could have been a bear, I was thinking. It could have been, I was thinking a bear, or if it was the beast, the creature down there, I'm not going to go down there by myself, you know what I mean? Mess with this thing, and I don't want to mess with it. I don't want to hurt it. I want it to come around. I want it to feel comfortable.
Sure.
Because that's why I didn't go down there. So if anybody knows, why didn't he go down there? I would have rushed down there. No, you wouldn't. And, you know, my goal is not to hurt this creature or try to get fame off of this. That's why I contacted your group, because I want to help you guys. I know Tom spent, you know, 40 years of his life trying to find this thing. And anybody that knows me, I'm all about helping people. I'm not trying to, you know, I could have started my own website or something and try to get the fame. That's not what I'm doing. I know this man's got the experience, and as far as people bashing him, in my experience with work or, you know, being the best, people don't like that, so they attack you. So that's how I look at it. You know, and I like the man and what he's done. I'm trying to help him. I don't want nothing out of this. That's why I say, so when you look at the picture, I'm not trying to convince anybody. This ain't bullshit. You judge for yourself. The picture is proof. I'm looking at it right now on the screen, and you can see the red eyes. You can see the pupils. You can see the nose. You can see the head. There is a creature there. This thing is a beast, and it's right there. Like I say, I'm not trying to convince anybody. You guys draw your own conclusions. All I'm trying to do is say, hey, I had footprints in my yard. Me and my father-in-law had an encounter with this thing, and now I got a picture of it, which the picture was off the video, and I had to pause it because, like I say, it's so far out. I got it zoomed out as far as it'll go, and there is a few spots, obviously, where it's kind of stable maybe for a brief second when you're pausing it frame by frame.
Sure.
And every frame in there, when this thing's on that silhouette, I can get a head clearly, eyes, head, nose, because it's kind of, you know, from the maybe the nose, the bottom of the nose down, it's covered behind the bushes and stuff. Like I say, you draw your own conclusions. All I'm doing
well,
is saying
here. What I was going to tell you, Robert, was I'd only had a chance to go through the video once.
No, I'm not saying
even
you, but when
through,
you post
no,
this
no,
on
no,
your
no,
website,
no.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Don't worry, we'll put it. We always do. People don't understand. You know, we post things on the website for people to look at, and invariably what happens, sometimes, you know, as we're doing investigations on things, right?
Right.
And at some point in time after, we find out it's something else, which it can be. I mean, it's very easily, things like that happen. And it's not
but what I'm finding
to,
out.
Yeah.
But what I'm finding out, Bill, is, you know, looking for Bigfoot or looking for a mushroom or trying to find your whatever if you're out yard selling or whatever. I mean, I don't know about the yard selling, but when you're trying to find something, a lot of this stuff's just common sense. You know, you got to know your surrounding.
Sure.
But before the footprints, I didn't have a reason to. You know what I mean? Now that I know this creature's real, I've been looking. And that pond and the food source around here, all the research that I've been doing has led me to believe that this thing's hanging around in this area. It's coming down here for food.
And
I mean,
it more than likely is, Robert.
There's been documented cases around here on this
What I was trying to say, Robert, was this. There are a lot of people out there, we call them armchair researchers. And what they do is I don't think they intentionally go out there and do this, but they actually think they're doing research when they go on the computer and they go to a website and they look at somebody's pictures and then they look at somebody else's pictures.
This picture that I got, that's the best picture I've seen of any beast or creature that people say they've got. That's the best one I've ever seen. I mean, to me, that's just my opinion.
Well, what happens, what I'm trying to explain to you, Robert, is this. I'm not any contention on it. What I'm saying is what happens. And so when we post things on our website, a lot of times what happens is a lot of people go out there and they look at this stuff. And, of course,
draw your own conclusion.
They have no idea. They've never been in the woods in their life. This is no kidding. They've never been in the woods in their life. They've never even been in an area where these creatures are, you know, habitat. And they have no idea of what the surrounding you know, type of elements and other things are for when you're looking for these things.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. The whole Bigfoot deal, everybody thinks these things are out in frickin' Alaska at the very tip and no man's land. Well, obviously they're not. They're closer
to
people than what people think.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. They are all over. And yes, they do go to areas where there is no people because that's a more comfortable place to be. However, they can't really also stay there. And in certain kinds of times, forest fires, other kinds of times where water and food are scarce, they're going to come down to where water is available, just like the bears do in the dump. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Just like other animals do, the deer do, when they come down to eat your corn all up.
If I was a beast, I'd want to be, you know, around food, you know what I mean, corn, deer, you know what I mean?
The food you want to get the easiest way you can get it. You don't want to, you know what I mean?
Well, sure.
And so that's available to them. And these creatures are very, very smart. They're very, very familiar with their environment and elements. They can hide themselves. I mean, really hide themselves good. They can stand so still. I mean, you've heard Rocky and Sweet when that creature, you know, took that parachute cord, ripped their little, you know, remember when he's talking about his cuties, oranges, the little cutie oranges?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, they were, I mean, you know, they're very experienced outdoorsmen. They cold camp, they slept, they were sleeping right there next to that tree. And that creature was able to go into that tree next to them, rip that thing down without waking them, and
wow,
took off with his little cuties. Now,
oh, I believe it. When I first seen the steps, I was scared. But now, this thing ain't wanting to mess with you. It just wants to be left alone. You know what I mean?
No,
so.
I think the only circumstance would arise on harming would be if they felt threatened, or, you know, we don't know when that is because we don't
right.
know enough about them. But I mean, if they felt threatened with their family or kids or, you know, their mates, maybe that kind of a thing. Maybe just like humans, you got one with a bad attitude.
Right, but like
usually,
I told you when I first talked to you, Marco Bill, when the first time I ever talked to you on the phone, I told you I ain't looking for no notoriety. I'm just trying to help bring proof to this
and
creature.
That's exactly
that's
what
I'm
you've been
do.
Doing, Robert.
I'm trying to help
I
you.
I want
guys.
Everybody
that's
to
all
know
I'm
that.
To do.
I want to tell everybody this. You know, Robert, when Robert first called, actually I actually had to coerce him to come on the show, because really what he didn't want anybody. He didn't want anything. He didn't want to have, you know, any newspaper, any other kind of notoriety.
I could go to the news with this probably, and they'd put it in the paper.
Course.
But I'm not. I don't want people.
No.
Like I say,
what he said from the very, very beginning in the get-go was that he had, you know, he had called around and he had seen Bigfoot lives, and he'd seen what Tom and his team had done.
And I admire Tom. I really do. Because,
yeah.
Like I say, you can see he's got a good heart, and it's too bad that people used his name, and his name actually made their, you know what I mean? They used him. And I see that. I've watched other. No, they used him. And then dumped
sure.
all their problems on him, and that's bullshit.
That's why
I want to help him.
Sure. And other things, too. I mean, he actually called him and said, hey, let's bury the hatchet. And they did, right square between his back.
Because it ain't, but what I'm saying is, Phil, there's 30 people in the world. I've had my share with them. Everybody's got a hard luck story about dealing with bad people. But the thing is, and if I can see somebody that's being attacked by somebody because they're jealous of the man, or because they're trying to get somewhere where he is, and then they're going to, like you say, put a knife in his back, you know, and that's why I want to go to him and help him. Here you go. Here's the evidence, and I hope you get this beast that you always look for. You know what I mean? And then people that know me, that's just me. I don't have to know you. If you're parked down on the side of the road, I'll help you. That's just me. I like helping people. I like people, and I can see that he's a good man.
We appreciate that too, Robert. I'll tell you right now.
No, that's just me.
I tell you what's happening. We're running a little late here.
Yep. Yep.
But that's all right. You're going to stick around for the end of the show, right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but it's 11 o'clock
Good
here.
God.
Yeah, I'll stick around. I know.
You gotta do a job.
Well, I'll hang out. Yeah, I'll hang out until the end of the show.
Okay.
Because I want to hear what you're
doing. I
want to
thank you, Robert,
too.
For coming back on tonight. And
yep.
We'll get that video and the pictures that you sent. I'll be taking a look at those and getting
like I say,
you,
for your listeners, draw your own conclusion. That's all I'm saying. I ain't trying to convince nobody of nothing.
No,
draw your own
we understand
conclusion.
That. And
no,
when we post it, we usually put that on there as well. But it's just people, you know, have a tendency sometimes to, you know, not observe. You know that, but that's all right. You know, we've never let any of this kind of stuff bother us.
People are scared of the unknown, I guess. I don't know. But, all right, Marco Bill, thanks for having me on. I'm going to stick around and listen to your other guests, and then I'll talk to you guys the end, I guess.
Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
I will keep in touch with you.
Yeah, all right. I wish you well, Marco Bill. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Robert from Pennsylvania, and he actually got some pretty good stuff. I looked at that video. And it's a pretty darn good thing. We're going to go to a commercial. And here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery. And deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. And if you want to know anything about what happened in 2008, August 15th of 2008, called Black Bigfoot Friday, take a look at that movie. It'll show you everything. We're going to go out here now to our good friend Richard in New York. Richard, how are you?
Hello, Marco.
Well, tell us first of all, what's the weather like there?
Oh, it's cold. It's snowy. I tried to go in to look around the other day, and it's actually dangerous because from the sun melting and freezing, it's made it just a glare of hard-packed ice. You can't get
it. Yeah, because it's already on a hard-packed ground, right?
Yeah. But I dropped my son off to get his car repaired.
Mm-hmm.
And the garage is half a mile from where I look in my area. And the old guy there, it's got some maple trees that he's tapped to try to get some sap to make syrup.
Yes.
And he's got a visitor coming in and stealing his sap from his trees, almost like sucking on a straw. And he's seen it. He said he's going to shoot the son of a bitch for taking his sap, and he's serious. He said he's had one other sighting there. He said what he's seen is about 6 feet tall and like a Mack truck, wide and muscular. And I have no reason not to believe this guy because he knows I'm interested in it. I've shown him pictures, and He's just not the kind of guy that he's kind of like Rocky and Swede. He don't lie. He don't elaborate. He's what I call a curmudgeon. He's when he tells you something, it's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not beyond a belief thing either. Because
no,
what do you think they probably like? Some fast energy, a little bit of maple syrup
store.
Or honey.
It's a candy store.
You ain't kidding.
And it's only, Marco, you can actually just about see where I go, my area from where they are. It's like a hollow. And he said he had one other sighting. They have railroad tracks.
Yeah.
That go, and he saw one go across the track a couple years ago. Might have been the same one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not confined. They do travel. They're not confined into an area. They probably do go outside of that protected area. At night, you know, you can't see them at night. You know, they could go just about any place, and you're not going to see them.
Well, they're going to go wherever they want food or water
right.
Adequate shelter and where they feel comfortable.
I didn't think they were probably in there this time of year, but evidently there might be a resident population that does winter there. I don't know where they're getting food from, but they must be getting it from someplace.
Yeah, well, it's
the landfill is right on the other side. Mm. I imagine they can get through the snow pretty good. The landfill's just on the other side. They go probably into the landfill at night and pick through the garbage, you know? I know there's nobody in there at night. They lock. The men don't work at night, and they lock it. The gates are locked. They can do it. It's a watchman. That's how I learned originally that they could have been in that area. One of the guys saw one at night, and he told a certain person that we both know, and this person wasn't even smart enough to follow up on the information he gave me. So we both know he's a mutual acquaintance, you know, Tom's, and you would think he'd follow up on his own information. Yeah.
Well, you know, I've had actually this in the past 6 months, I've had 5 different reports where 2 in Michigan. God, where was the other 3? Anyway, 2. I know 2 for sure in Michigan. Oh yeah, 1 was in Newfoundland.
Yeah.
And Maine, and where was the other one? Anyway, all of these incidents took place, and what happened was the people were in their house, and they heard a rattling outside. And when they came outside to look, there were footprints leading right up to where their garbage cans were. And they, you know, were digging through the garbage, and they took off. And it happened. All of those incidents took place in the last 6 months. So what does that tell you? It tells you it's very likely, and the footprints were, you know, 18 inches. That's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And in one case, there was a pounding on the side of the house that woke them up, and then the rattling of the can. And when they went outside, the top of the garbage can was missing. And they found it about 100 yards away. And the footprints.
That's a raccoon.
Yeah, big raccoon with size 16 or 17 shoes.
You know what, Marco?
Yeah.
2 of my sightings are connected by a power line. And I didn't even know it was there until I nosed around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a clear-cut power line between the two sighting areas.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that people do look for. Because they'll take the easiest resistance. At night, there's nobody there in those power, you know, those clear-cut areas. They can pretty much go where they want at night because they're almost invisible in the dark. Unless they want to be seen or unless you're... The average person, like the gentleman that just said, they're probably more prevalent in populated areas than people think. They just don't look for them.
Well, we know they are. By the phone calls that I get, I can guarantee you that the majority of them are not out in areas where there's no people. The majority of them that I get are in residential areas.
And
I mean, even Tehran on the reservation, you know, the Choctaw Reservation. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different people within the last year here have had sightings, and they're all right within the same area, behind his mother's house. Near the chief, the tribal chief's house, that's between the casino, a casino that has hundreds of people going in and out with the hotel, cars, everything there, and a whole bunch of people seen this one incident that took place that where it ran across across from the casino, near the casino, across to where the chief's house was. They had a whole bunch of people. So I mean, it happens all the time.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
the town that I live in, there's patches of woods all over. They could go from patch of wood to patch of wood. You'd never see them. They can move around wherever they want at night, and you wouldn't.
They can. I'll tell you what. On Bigfoot Lives, our first movie, at the very end of the movie, there's a scene where this guy, he's a very good friend of ours, Mike Sells. He died of cancer, but he had his night video on, his video camera with the night stuff on it. And he was in it, you know how it looks kind of silvery.
Yes.
Black and white, right? Mm-hmm. Or silvery kind of color, kind of greenish silvery. And he was, of course, he couldn't see. It was real dark, right? Mm-hmm. And he backed up into what he thought was a tree that pushed him over.
Yeah, well, you know what?
And it knocked him on his butt.
I'm no coward, but I fear these things. I fear what they could do if they wanted to.
Well, it didn't hurt him.
No,
what it did was knocked it. It just pushed him where he fell over, and of course, it scared the heck out of him.
Well, Marco, if they're way above the level of what we consider primates, like chimpanzees, mentally. Because if they were chimpanzees or gorillas, they would have been found a long time ago. They're thinking creatures. They are very elusive, and they're smart. And my biggest fear when I'm out there alone is they know what I'm doing. They're either going to take it as a game, or they're going to be upset because I'm looking for them.
Well, and I think that's a fair assumption. But we really don't know everything, but what we can assume is they must be pretty smart. And through my experience, I'm giving you my experience and how they've, how they've acted and how they've responded we were able to, in several instances, could see them through the heat, through the heat sensor,
mm-hmm.
clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And it ducked behind a rock once. And, it's it was very, very still. But if you did not have the heat, that heat sensor, and you were to try to look with your naked eye there, you would not see anything.
But Marco, like we said, they're smart, and I think that they avoid confrontation.
They do.
But why did that one grab Rocky? You never know.
We don't know.
They're just they could be like people. There could be some that are hell-bent on doing something to you.
Well, not necessarily. See, here's another thing you got to put in perspective. There are, we're calling all these things Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they may be different. We know that there's different species of these things. Okay? And they're completely different.
Right.
Okay? What does it say that, if it's a, more ape kind of a, creature or a more human kind of a creature?
Right.
And this is what we have found through the years here, is there are, depending upon where you go, depending upon the sightings and things that we've gotten records of, there are some that are more human-looking, there are some that are more ape, or, kind of a orangutan. I guess you'd call it orangutan-looking face.
Yeah,
okay?
That's what I've seen.
But it doesn't, they're not orangutan. Okay? It just has that feature.
That's what I've seen.
And then there's the little short ones. Yes, they have juveniles. Yes, they have babies. But these are not. These are, by the way that they're walking around and running around, they're about a 3 to 4 foot creature, mm-hmm. fully, like a midget.
Good.
Okay, so.
Bill, in your...
There's a lot of different things that we don't know.
In your...
There's others...
In your opinion, have you found...
It's just a matter of, you know, it's just a matter of knowing, you know, what you know, which one it is. And we don't know that all of these things are, you know, a different species can totally have a different kind of a composure and, you know, a mental makeup.
In your estimation, in your travels, you and Tom, have you ever seen where these different types mix?
No, not necessarily mix. We haven't had that kind of an experience yet. But in similar areas?
Yeah.
Yes, different creatures in a similar area.
Not
necessarily. We don't. How could we ever know that they mix?
In the same patch of woods.
No, in the same areas, yeah, they're different. We've had different things, yeah. That doesn't mean that they're mixing. It just means that they're a different creature.
Like Roger.
Right now.
Like Roger.
Mm-hmm.
Said he calls one type of Yeti that's more a meat eater.
Yep.
And then we have what we consider the Sasquatch, which is more of a vegetarian. That's what.
Well, and when we go way back to in the 70s, 74, 75, and there were Ivan Marks was there. The species that he was tracking, that he mostly tracked, that he found, was it seemed to be totally vegetarian. Mm-hmm. It ate berries, it ate clams and fish, and it ate grass and other kinds of vegetables and other stuff like that, you know what I mean?
But it didn't eat deer.
Well, he never had, that's why he thought it was, it didn't eat meat, so to speak. It was pretty much in his estimation at that time. But since then, we've had that was only one kind of a creature that he was looking at and looking for, and that was the kind of creature that he had most of his sightings based on. And up in Alaska and other areas, people had made paintings of them that are very, I mean, very, very close, things like that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to make any kind of a statement on, you know, what that is, why, because we don't know enough about them
yet. We're only scratching the surface.
We're
not even scratching the surface.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
Jane Goodall,
we don't know enough about them,
around,
and we don't have enough information on them.
No.
We have some, but it's not quite enough.
Well, nobody can really study them. You only get fleeting glimpses.
But anyway, we're running late again. Hold on. Thanks for coming on tonight and talking about it. It's pretty neat, though, that the maple syrup thing.
Oh, yeah, I thought so. I'm going there next week. I'm going to
go
take some pictures of the tree.
Keep in touch with me.
I will. I'll let you know what I find, Bill.
Yeah. You're going to hang in there until the end, right?
Yes, I will.
I got to go to Anthony here, and then we got to get our good friends Rocky and Sweet on there. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Take care, Richard.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, Richard from New York. We're going to go out here to our good buddy Anthony from Virginia. Anthony, how are you?
All right. Hope you're doing well, Mark. Hope Tom's doing well.
Well, you know, Anthony, I put the picture up there. I did get your picture because I had it yesterday, and I was able to put it up. And I didn't, I had it in there already, so that was pretty easy to do. But all the rest of the pictures I had, I just didn't have enough time before the show to put them up. But what do you got a picture, a pretty neat little picture there of, is that a kind of a creek?
Yeah, it is. It's a running creek.
And you guys were out there about a week before that.
That's right.
Well, why don't you give us the whole story?
Well, you know, I had met up with East Coast Jack, you know, because he was kind enough to let me use his parabolic dish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the recordings, you know, I had sent to you in the past, and you've already had some of that. Some of them you know, recording that attempt without the fireballs, just without the dish. But in any case, it was time to give it back to him. Yeah, he was going to do some more stuff on his own. And we met up, and in the process, you know, we just walked around a particular area where I told him where I suspected where it was. And that particular day, we had set up a game camera, you know, because he kind of felt like, you know, this was the direction they were walking. You know, they're going to be coming. They're going to be coming from, you know, from where that picture is pointed from. And he said that they're going to, you know, probably go in that direction. I told him, I said, okay, well, I have a game camera set up, you know, in the other direction. But I said, I just got a new one. I said, let me set it up here. And so I set it up there. Now, the picture that you see there is that picture is not taken from the game camera. That one's taken from my cell phone, because the picture that's on the game camera is far away. You know, it's a little further out. But at the same time, you know, I mean, you know, these buggers are so quick in their movements that, you know, the camera fires and doesn't get anything, you know.
Well, I understand, yeah.
And so when I looked in that, but I, you know, the only reason why I took that picture there, you know, just for clarity for those that are listening, and also, I mean, this is one branch, you know, if you look at it, I mean, you know, if somebody wanted to, you know, snap a branch like that, you know, they'd have to be at least 7 feet in the air.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty high up.
Yeah.
And it snapped. It's not, it's not just like something bent it or anything, or wind did it or any of that. I mean, it just snapped.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it was not a breezy day or anything like that, but for sure, you know, they did come through that area because, I mean, we were there. You know, we were there. We didn't see anything there. We did see a possible path, you know, where it was crossing the creek, which is the reason why I said, okay, let's point it in this direction, you know. And sure enough, you know, we see the thing snap, you know. But like I said, you know, no creature, you know, whether they, I'm just like everybody else trying to find something, you know. Sometimes you're successful in one thing, or, you know, I think I was kind of more successful getting recordings than getting anything, you know, visual. But it is exciting, you know, because, you know, I know the bugger's out there, and you know, a little more patient, just trying to be a little more patient. Yeah, ever since that first sighting a few years back, you know, I'm still very much interested in seeing what these creatures are.
Well, I think you did pretty good. See, and one of the things that happens, a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, when you have all this stuff going on in an area where you were before, and you come back to it later on, and all of a sudden you find all these things,
yeah,
you know, little things here and there that are all changed. And of course, that's very interesting, because you know that wasn't there when you were there.
That's right.
And you know that it just couldn't have been anything that did that. I mean, what's significant is the height that is off the ground, significantly. And you know what I'm saying? So it's a little game of cat and mouse. We keep playing it all the time.
Yeah, yeah, you got that right. Yeah. By the way, if you remember several months back, you know, when I had sent you a daytime photo of a possible creature in the tree, you know, which is probably, you know, like I said, you know, if it was a creature, I mean, they were, you know, not camouflaged, but, you know, they set themselves up so still on that branch that, you know, you couldn't even tell. I happen to be down that road as well, and you know, just, again, there's nothing there, you know. So.
Yep. And
yeah,
that can happen, I'm sure.
Yeah, even if you do see something during, you know, the daylight, you know, sometimes they, you know, they remain stiff as statues, and, you know, just, I guess, to kind of make you doubt, then you just move on, and you come back and they're not there, you know. So.
Yeah, well,
what we do is keep on going, keep doing it, and you keep doing it long enough, and pretty soon, you know, it's amazing how much success you have when you keep, you don't give up. You know what I'm saying?
Look at
Thomas Edison in the light bulb. I can't even remember how many thousand times he did that thing. But, I mean, if it would have been me, I probably would have took a hammer and beat the damn thing. Yeah, and beat it so hard it would light. But thank you for coming on. And we'll go to Rocky, and then we'll open it up for everybody. Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Anthony. Oops. We lost somebody here. Who did I lose? I know what happened. Hey, Rocky, how are you doing?
Just fine. How you doing?
Pretty good. I think we lost Swede.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just now it just went kaplunk. I think he probably, his phone probably clipped out. He'll probably dial back in.
I imagine he will.
Well, why don't you tell us what the subject is this week, my good friend?
Well, the other day, me and Swede was out messing around, and we run onto an old boy that is a friend of ours. When I say messing around, he was actually just driving around out in the snow and the ice. Anyhow, I heard somebody.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah, I was getting off the speakerphone and hung up.
Oh, that's okay.
Sorry.
You're on now, buddy. You and Rocky are on.
I was telling him about stopping over by old Buck's house, and he was having some trouble with a stirrup that broke off his saddle.
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow, I thought that it was crazy anybody asking us that, but he said, does anybody have a knife? Well, so we started unloading our pockets, and between me and the Swede, we had a dozen knives, exactly a dozen knives, and told him just to take his pick. And so we got to thinking about it, and we thought that we might ought to talk about knives, since there's so many people actually going out in the woods and doing things. And the reason for that being is because not long ago I made a trip up to my local knife shop. Well, the knife maker in question is A.G. Russell, and he has made more of an impact on the knife world in the United States than just about any human there is. He did the first mail order knife catalog. He was the one that come up with the idea of putting a little thumb stud on the side of a blade so you could open it one-handed. He's behind all the most major knife magazines, plus he's a knife maker. And anyhow, he's got in his store, he sells a lot of different kinds of knives and
brands and makers also, not just his
all kinds of knives by all the better known makers, everything from, well, my point being, it's, you know, we hear people talk about, oh, this knife's no good because it was made in China. This knife isn't any good because it was made in Taiwan. Well, our friend A.G. Russell, he does all of his steel in the United States. All of his handle material is from here, from Arkansas. And when it's all said and done, when the knife is ready, he sends all the pieces to China and to Taiwan, and they're assembled there. Well, the knives, the A.G. Russell knives, the ones that says China on it, they're assembled there, and they're extremely high quality. If they can't do the fit and finish, then they don't get the contract. And A.G. Russell is a really, he's pretty hard-nosed when it comes to quality. And I've got knives, oh gosh. If me and the Swede took all the knives that we had, just the two of us owned, we could have our own store. And it'd take a long time to sell out.
Mm-hmm.
But,
they're not saying that we spent a ton of money on them either. You know, we get to that, Rocky, on the budget thing. You know, you can have a great knife, a great durable working tool that can service for years and years and years without issue and not break the bank. Look what you're looking for.
Yeah, sometimes I break the bank.
Sometimes you got to have to break the bank, but.
But. Now I bought Swede a knife here several years ago for his birthday. Of course, when he opened the box, all there was a big chunk of concrete in it. But anyhow, when I pulled the knife out of my pocket and gave it to him, we all had a laugh. But he uses the knife all the time. It says China on it, but it was just put together in China, and he's not easy on it. He believes in using it. And, the knife thing, there's so many knives out there that are... Now, if I see a knife that says Pakistan, I'm going to hand it back and walk away. But it's not so much what it says. If it says China, it says Taiwan, you got to look at the brand name, because you've got Kershaw, you've got CRKT, you've got so many different kinds of knives that are assembled in China, assembled in Taiwan, in order for people to be able to afford to buy them, because it'd be a $65 knife here that's assembled in China would cost $300 if it was assembled here.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the purpose of the knives. Swede and me, we both, when we go out, we'll carry more knives than we need, maybe. We always carry lots of knives, and, you know, we rarely use even a quarter of the ones that we're carrying, but you never know. Man might drop one.
Or you take a tumble like I've been known to do, and one gets slid out of your pocket and you lose it or something, or, you know, you may find it later, but you ain't got it when you need it. You say, whoa, what happened? Because you didn't know, because you were tumbling. That's happened. You know, it's always nice to have the tool for the task. You don't need a great big blitz hacker that you can split kindling with to dig a splinter out of your hand, although you could do it. A lot better if you got a little folded knife in your pocket. But then on the other hand, you don't want to try to split kindling with your folded knife in your pocket, because it's not going to take well to taking another chunk of wood and driving it through there. But the task at hand is what you need. So try to find something. We always try to find something that's pretty versatile that'll do a little bit of all of it. And the major thing that you're going to need, We try to do that. Usually we'll have something like that regardless of the situation. There's always one, either whether it's in the pack or in your pockets or on your belt or wherever. But if you have to have one, we were trying to determine what would be the one. Rocky, what did we come up with on that? The one is the one that
mine. My choice was the Boker Box.
Mm.
It's made out of D2 steel. I can split kindling with it. I can slice bacon. I can chop limbs. I can slice tomatoes. I can skin. I can do almost anything with the knife because it is good, strong steel. It's hell for hard. It's tool steel. And, it's an absolute using knife. I have bigger knives for bigger chores. I have smaller knives for smaller chores. I've always said that, you know, you can't carry, as long as you've got a place in your pocket, you need to stick a knife in that spot.
That's
I've got a little case Stockman that Tom gave me several years ago, and I take it with me. I've actually never done anything more than open it. I mean, I've never even cut a piece of string with it. But, you know, if I get a splinter, it's there. If I need to do some real fine cutting, it's there. But I don't think I'm going to be able to cut down stuff to make shelter out of. I've got a knife for that.
Right. Let's visit on the handle materials too, Rocky. That was another thing in the tang. If you're going to get one, get something with a full tang. If you're not familiar with a full tang, means that the blade runs all the way through the handle. It'll have a slab on each side. You can see the steel completely through the handle. That's a tough knife. It's going to be hard to break, hard to bend. You've got control of the steel. The strength is there.
Hollow handle knives.
Yeah, the hollow handle knives is. Don't do that. If you need to have a little survival kit in the end of your knife, just put it in a pill bottle or an empty vitamin bottle or something and put it in your shirt pocket and button your pocket. You don't want your knife handle to break off because that's just not a, that's not a solid situation. What do you say, Rocky?
I say, boo on the hollow handle knives. Granted, the movie Rambo, his big hollow handle knife was made by Jimmy Lyle, one of the premier knife makers from Arkansas. But, you know, that being said, it's a $1,500 knife. I'm not going to carry one. I can put all that stuff in my pocket.
That's right.
It's they tend to be much, much weaker. The push tang knife.
Yeah, the push tang.
Push tang knife. The tang doesn't go all the way through. It just goes up into the handle a little ways, and it's epoxied in. Sometimes when you get to doing heavy duty stuff, get to chopping, all of a sudden you realize you got a handle in your hand, but there's no blade in it.
It can happen.
So now I've got American made knives. I got my K bars. I've got bucks, I've got cases, I've got all kinds of, knives, other than the ones made in Pakistan. There are really, really good knives, really hard using knives out there that are low dollar. When you look at the blade and it says China or it says Taiwan on it, look for a brand name. Some of the Chinese knives that don't have a good brand name, well, fight shy of them. There's so many good knives out there now that's being
assembled.
Yeah, being assembled in China, and they're fantastic knives, but if they go through China just, you know, in the back seat of somebody's car, when they get to the other side, it's going to have China etched on it. So don't be scared of Chinese knives. Look at the brand name. And don't be afraid of knives made in Taiwan. Good steel. There's a lot of good stuff coming out of Japan, Taiwan, out of China.
And the Japanese steel and knives are some of the best ever and have been for years. But
they just don't get recognized.
They don't get recognized for the quality. I mean, there's junk, but there's quality also.
You just got to know the brand names.
Guys, I want to thank you too much. I got to learn more about knives tonight than I ever knew in my life. I didn't realize that.
We can carry on
that much.
We just thought we would bring it to light. Not a lot of.
No, I think it's a good thing to bring up. Let's open this up for everybody.
Sure.
Robert, you're on. Richard, you're on. Anthony, you're on. So we got Rocky, Swede, Anthony, Richard, and Robert.
Hey, Rocky, what do you guys think of buying a surplus bayonet?
I get it.
Absolutely.
That's what I always wanted.
Absolutely.
Okay.
They're
not even that long anymore, right?
Do what?
How long are the bayonets that they use now that you would buy? World War II bayonet. They're not real super long anymore.
Yeah, the M4 bayonet's about, what is it, Rocky, about 7.5 inches probably?
Seven and a half inches, yeah.
7.5 inches. That's a great choice, Richard. That's made out of the 1095 high carbon steel, and that's real durable. It will rust a little bit if you keep a little oil on it, but that's a tough blade. You can pry stuff with it. It won't break.
Yeah, they're real thick.
I've got a Marine Corps K-bar. The one that I have now, I don't really use that much. The one that I had when I was in the Marine Corps, I was so brutal to that thing, and it held up under so much torture that I can't praise them high enough.
Go ahead. They also sell a Navy SEAL knife some of the places here.
Yeah.
Good knife, too.
Okay. A lot of the Navy SEAL knives, if you look, if it's the Ontario Knife Company, get it.
Yeah.
Those are made in New York, Richard.
What?
That Ontario Knife and K-Bar both are from New York. They're both right there.
Yeah.
I know there is a place in the western part of the state, there is a company that makes knives.
Mm-hmm. Ontario Knife Companies, who makes the Navy SEAL knives, and they're good tools. Great.
Yeah, they're a little bit pricey,
absolutely,
but they're good.
Well, there's other people that make them, but when it comes right down to it, you know, the Ontario knives have been around for a long time, and they're good stuff.
Hey, here's one for you guys. My wife comes from a town called Ilion, New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's where the Remington plant is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My brother-in-law worked there, and he could get one shotgun a year. At price, anything he wanted.
That'd be nice.
It's right in the middle of the plant. Is right in the middle of town.
Well, you know, I've got two. I'm sitting here looking at two Remington shotguns right now. Absolutely love them both. I've got a Remington 700 that I have. Oh gosh, sweet, how many years have I had that? Mm-hmm. I've had that since before my kids was born.
Well,
and I have hunted everything, everywhere with it. I love my Remingtons.
I try to sell one. My best friend died in a motorcycle accident, and his wife had something called a Remington Deerslayer shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It had the two barrels, the long and the short one.
Mm-hmm.
I sold that gun for about $25.
Wow.
Just to get rid of it.
Well, call me next time that comes up, Richard.
Yeah, anytime anything like that comes up, you've got our numbers.
Yeah. I couldn't give it away, though.
Well, wow. You could in my part of town.
So, Anthony and Robert, you got any questions?
Kind of quiet this night.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just listening to you guys.
Hey, what's an Arkansas toothpick?
I have.
What's an Arkansas toothpick? It's a... about a 10, 11, or foot long bladed double-edged knife. It's looked like a short sword. It's modeled kind of after the Roman gladius.
Mm-hmm.
Not a true gladius, but it's as close to a short sword as you can get. I've got one. I never carry it because, well,
it's for hurting people, right? It's not very practical for anything else, right?
Well, that's actually what it was made for,
late 1800s in Fort Smith, Arkansas, more people had an Arkansas toothpick than they had a firearm.
Yeah.
It was designed by a guy that they had the Jim Bowie style Bowie knife, and then the Arkansas toothpick, and the Arkansas toothpick was so effective on taking people out that that's what everybody wanted.
the guy that made Jim Bowie's knife was an old Arkansas boy, and he was also partly responsible for a lot of the Arkansas toothpick mines.
Design, right. His buddy's the one, actually.
In the 1800s, there were a lot of knife fighting schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're familiar with the big sandbar duel that Jim Bowie had where he took out.
No.
Well, him and some, and a couple old boys got in a fight, and they said that Bowie was carrying what looked like some kind of a big butcher knife, and basically Bowie got pretty messed up, but he survived and the others didn't. I got one for Tom some time back and had his initials engraved on it, and the SFBI logo was engraved on it, but
let me tell you guys, my dad was a butcher, so I was around knives pretty much my whole life.
You got them in Ontario, Old Hickory and Ontario Knife Company made a lot of meat processing knives, and they still make them in New York State. And they're some of the best. We have the brand Old Hickory. They're from just a carbon steel with a hickory handle on it. That's what we have in our kitchen, and those are some of the best knives. They're built in New York State, and they're tough.
No. You know, when I got grabbed out in the woods, Tom said that I had a Marine Corps pay bar. I had a Ontario Knife Company knife that was made in the same style as the Marine Corps pay bar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what...
saved your life, probably.
Yeah, that's how I got loose. And,
I want to carry a knife. As you know, in New York State, guys, I can't carry a gun when I go out to the woods. I can't carry a pistol.
You can carry a knife, can't you, Richard?
What?
You can take a knife with you, can't
you? But I got to find out because we may be limited in length.
Yeah, I think there is some length limit.
I'm sure you probably are.
But
see, we're blessed in Arkansas. There's a saying, if you're lucky enough to be born in Arkansas, you're lucky enough. And we, you know, I'm sitting here in my gun room, and everywhere I look, I have rifles, I've got handguns, I've got more knives in here.
But you guys collect them, right? You more or less collect them. You like them.
Hey, I got a new one today.
I sit at night on the cable. You ever see the shows that sell the knives? The guys sell all kinds of knives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm fascinated by that. I watch it. I'll sit there for hours and I'll watch it.
Yeah, that Smoky Mountain Knife Works, that Knives Lives is a great show to watch. They show a lot of good quality knives on there, Richard, from Tennessee there.
There used to be a guy from Tennessee that used to do it. And he used to talk on the show about the boogers. He goes, it's no joke. I went out, and he was serious.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they call them in Tennessee, is boogers.
Boogers. Mm-hmm.
And that's where the term boogeyman comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know.
And they also have woolly boogers.
Woolly boogers?
I never
heard that one.
You were asking about the the bayonet.
Yeah.
Okay. The Swede carries one when we're out in the woods. And the thing of it is, it's got a little hole in the blade, and what it does, it slips over this little thing, this stud on the sheath,
uh-huh.
And it makes a wire cutter.
Huh.
Like a pair of
scissors. On the one side, it's got a serrated blade anyways on the one side, right?
It's not really serrated. It's just for cutting notching. Like if you needed to build a shelter, you could make some notching. It's not a saw.
Oh, I thought it was for cutting wire and stuff.
No, it's not for notching.
Down toward the tip, when you slip the stud through the hole, it's kind of an eccentric shaped stud that slides right through the hole, and then it just turns into a wire cutter.
Well, let me just tell you guys something about the Gladius. Being a military history buff, that was the most effective knife. That's what made Rome conquer the world, because even these guys with these big, long swords,
mm-hmm.
It's a stabbing knife. It's not.
Well, you realize that the Confederate soldiers all carried a knife that was based on the Gladius.
Right.
It basically was a Gladius.
Well, they didn't, in the beginning, they didn't have bayonets, right?
Right.
There's another little bit of history for you guys over here. You know, we had a lot of the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
The Grenadiers, right? The average British soldier in the 18th century, bayonet was 16 inches long.
Right.
The Grenadiers' bayonet was 26 inches long. And they trained for 4 hours a day with the bayonet. When them guys came, and when they pulled the bayonet from their sheath, they would do it in unison and hold them straight up and wiggle them so the sun would reflect off them, and then slam them all home at the same time. They wanted to scare you so you'd run. And if they were coming at you, you better run. Because they were all the biggest, strongest troops, and they had these big, long bayonets.
Yeah, that,
well,
that
I tell you,
hole in you.
Well, what you need to do is you need to check with the local authorities and see what
Because I go out, I'm out there by myself. I've got nobody else, and I got to tell you, I'm always apprehensive when I'm out there. If you've ever seen one of my videos, I walk with my camera on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm at a track meet. I'm afraid to go down and expose myself and look at a print. I've had beautiful prints, and I'm afraid to go and look at it. I know what's there.
The bayonet, like you were talking about, is a good, strong-made
blade. It's thick.
That's just like the one guy was asking me about. I bought one here just, a couple of weeks ago. And he said, why do you need a knife that big? I said, because something might jump on me that needs a blade that big to make them quit.
Yeah, well that happened, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
A knife saved a life.
It certainly did. And you know what? I have carried a knife since I was probably 4 years old.
And the knife did make it quit, didn't it?
The knife made it launch me into space, but yeah, it got shed of me and left me alone from that point on.
Because it got hurt. It probably killed it, right? In the long run.
It had something to do with it, I'm sure. It sped up the process.
Yeah. I want something on me. I thought I'd get bear spray. But I don't even know if that's legal in New York State to carry it.
Hey, Marco, Bill, Richard, Swede, Rocky, I got to get off here. I got to get up early. So you guys have a
Robert,
good one.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Good night, Robert.
Good night, Robert.
Get some
Take
sleep.
It easy.
Don't work too hard tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah, really. All right, we'll talk to you guys later. Thanks again.
Take care.
All right.
Well, everybody, we probably ought to wind up the show.
Yeah.
Anthony just dialed back in. He fell off there. Whoops. And I'd like to thank everybody for coming on and sharing. And, again, I think it was a really good subject to go into because it's something that we don't really think about or talk about too much, but something that we use all the time.
Absolutely. Richard, call me sometime during the week, and we'll talk on this further.
Okay, I will.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Take care. Good
night, everybody out there, thank you for listening.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Bill.
Good night, Richard.
Good night, Mel.
Good night, guys.
Keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See everybody next week.
Good night.
Good night. Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.